And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. As always, go to TennesseeStar.com. Michael, you'll notice I didn't shave today because I didn't want to shave off my toxic masculinity. Gillette, doing this new ad about toxic masculinity.
Oh, brother.
You know, a company that sells shaving stuff mainly to men now wants to declare, you know, themselves pro-snowflake or something. Anyway, so I did not shave today. It's only going to be about a one-day occurrence, but no more Gillette for me.
There you go.
I'm going with Schick just because I like the way it sounds.
There you go.
Cameron Sexton is the new caucus chairman for the Republicans in the State House. House Speaker Glenn Casta moving up a step, a little bit of a shuffle in the leadership, and new committee chairman, including our friend Robin Smith becoming a committee chairman as a freshman member of the State House. A lot of new things coming and more oversight of what the executive branch actually does after the legislature passes legislation. Cameron Sexton, longtime friend, is with us. And if you believe the mainstream media, again, there's your first mistake, you would think that the Republicans under the new management are going to start voting in secret, passing legislation in secret, and not letting you know how they vote because that's what they're telling you they're up to. And Cameron Sexton here with us to try and set the record straight. Cam, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
If you believe the Tennessean and the other media, you guys are planning on meeting and voting in secret these days.
Well, yeah, that's what they try to say. And, you know, all we're really doing is placing is going from a default and really placing more of an emphasis on how open we are. And so what we told the press is when we have a caucus meeting, we're going to tell them when it's going to be open or when it's going to be closed. And more or less, we want to have an emphasis on how open and transparent we are, and that they would be notified of every caucus meeting. They'd be noticed if it was open or closed. But if there was ever public policy or public business discussed or any votes taken, then all those meetings would always be open, just like they have been.
So they want you all to have your open discussions about political strategy so that they can, you know, run down the hallway and report it to the Democrats. I don't think, as we kind of look at teams heading further into the NFL championship playoffs, that the strategy sessions of how they're going to run, what sort of defense, what kind of offensive strategy they're doing, I don't think they do those in open and public.
No, they don't. And, you know, we reserve the right in those instances to close the meeting for a few minutes if we need to. And you know, I mean,
when you're exactly talking politics,
right,
and political strategy.
Yes. And, you know, or if whenever, you know, there's some frustration within the caucus over something that's non-public business, whether it's something politics or whether it's about leadership style or something of that nature, we can reserve the right to close it. You know, the interesting thing, the only group that has closed any meetings at this point within the first week was the Democrat House.
And the media hadn't pitched a conniption fit over that.
No, not at all. Representative Sexton, Michael Patrick Leahy here. So I am looking at this headline in the Failing Tennessean. I don't know if you saw, by the way, this Vulture Capital Fund has put a bid to buy Gannett and the Tennessean because they say it's not being well managed right now. But here is the headline, and I'm gonna. It sounds like this is a misleading headline from what you tell me. The headline in the story in the Failing Tennessean, quote, Tennessee House Republicans to close caucus meetings as legislature convenes for new sessions, end quote. I read that, and it looks like they're saying you're going to close all caucus meetings.
Right. Yeah, that's not right. I mean, even when we were having the discussion with them, and even last week, if you look at the record, we had three caucus meetings, and all three were open to the media for the entirety of it. And in that discussion with them, when we said we're going to place our emphasis on how often we're open, not on the very rare instances that we may be closed, and we're going to move forward in that direction. And then we even specified that anything to do with public business, public policy, or any votes on such would be open without regard of anything else, and they still want to say that we're having closed.
I noticed they didn't do a big blaring headline when the Democrats had their closed caucus meeting.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting concept. You know, the Democrats came in right after our caucus meeting. They had the room reserved, which can be confirmed through, you know, General Services if anybody liked to do that. But, you know, the interesting thing is the Democrats closed their meeting. They said they were open, but they didn't send out any announcements saying that they were having a meeting. They say they opened, but they locked the door so you couldn't get in the room. And then they were talking about the Derek Tibbs case internally. And so
that was the guy that stole like $12,000 or something.
Yeah, from their campaign account over there. And so, you know, we've alerted the news media, and I think that the Democrats are also kind of doing the little spin stories about how they were open, and, you know, they're sorry that they didn't notify people.
It was an open meeting behind a closed locked door.
Yeah.
That's how everybody has their open meeting.
Really?
No one knew where it was taking place or when it was taking place. But open
details. Cameron, how can you be so, you know, so unfair to the Democrats by pointing out those pesky details?
Right.
What are going to be the top priorities as Republicans with a new House Speaker, with new committee chairman, with some new committees, and a commitment, according to Speaker Cassidy, of more oversight, more making sure, for example, that that TennCare has actually spent the money we gave them in the way they were supposed to spend it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a whole different field down there. You know, Speaker Cassidy changed up the committee systems, and I think it's going to work very well. And we have TennCare oversight back in. We have Department of Corrections oversight back in through the committee system. And as you mentioned, Robin Smith's going to be a sub-chair of the Insurance Committee. I think what you'll see as a House is you'll see us be more active in the budget process. I think you'll still see a very conservative budget, looking at some different types of tax cuts for different things as we manage the state resources. But I think policy-wise, what you'll see is, especially in healthcare, a more pro-consumer, pro-provider approach that will really kind of open up access in the marketplace. And then as you're looking for different business initiatives, you know, I think you'll see more pro-business, less regulation as we continue to move forward and make Tennessee even better.
Representative Sexton, Speaker Cassidy has told us here a week and a half ago that school choice, parental choice, will be one of his top priorities this year. Do you see that being a top priority of the legislature?
Yes. I mean, I think, well, I mean, I'll just, anything that's a priority of the speaker is going to be a priority of the House of Representatives. And I think if that speaker casts his priority, I think Governor Lee is kind of moving in that direction as well. And I think we'll see how that goes. I haven't, the Education Committee's chaired, has four different subcommittees on it. So I think it could very well be the top priority and be able to move things out onto the House floor.
When you look at Governor Lee's campaign, he was an advocate of school choice. It was one of the things that was kind of a specific issue that he was wanting to push. He's backed off of that. Is actually through his communications director told people it is no longer a priority. They don't think they can pass it. They're not going to push that as his priority this year. You indicated you think he's moving in the direction back towards school choice, parental choice being a priority. Is that in part because Glenn Cassidy has made it clear that's his priority?
I think that could be part of it. And I think, you know, also I think it's still on the governor's radar, and, you know, we haven't been told that it's off his radar. So, you know, conversation I had with the administration was they're still looking at it and still looking at whether or not how they're going to pursue it or not pursue it. So we haven't been told, or I haven't been told, that it's completely off the radar.
I know the opioid crisis is another one that that you all keep hearing a lot about. I saw a statistic last night that was literally shocking, that you are more likely to die in this country right now from an opioid abuse overdose than you are in a traffic accident. More people are dying from opioid overdose than car wrecks now in this country. It's something that's gotten a lot of attention. What can the legislature do to make it less likely that we continue to see more people dying or getting addicted to or overdosing on opioids?
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of it has to do with fentanyl and heroin is definitely on the rise. And, you know, I think prescription opioids have been going down for the last 3 years. And I think after this last year's plan Tennessee Together, I think you see a further reduction. And a couple things. I think one is, and, you know, it's a federal issue, but I think President Trump needs the support to build the wall, because I think that will help keep out illegal fentanyl and heroin from coming across the border. We need to put more efforts into law enforcement to help them have the tools to better fight it. And, you know, I think that the third thing is, which is a very critical thing, is really try to do a better job with mental health and substance abuse disorder. And my thought has always been that the supply is always going to be there. And you've seen it with methamphetamine back in the day. And what happens is the cartels, they just change the drug as they go over time. So it went from methamphetamines, it went to kind of a opioid-based thing, and now it's moving into heroin. And so we really need to take away the supply, and the supply are the people. And so we need to do a better job of getting them the tools they need to overcome and reduce the supply of people who are addicted to it.
Cameron Sexton, Republican Caucus Chairman, thanks for coming in and setting the record straight on this whole secret meetings that the media has portrayed. You're welcome anytime. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. It's great to hear you on the radio again.
Thank you, Cam. We'll be back with more in a moment. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Go to TennesseeStar.com.